Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea, in for Anthony Brooks.
Bruins fans, you love a fast, skillful hockey game, but let's be honest, don't you pay extra for those rinkside seats at the Garden for moments like this?
Oh, Boychuk with a green light hit just outside the Boston line.
Or this?
Coming through blind, bam! Just put him down, and then 27 and White with the stick on the ankle.
Or maybe this.
We're looking at an NHL record here. 3 fights in 4 seconds. You know, they built the original Boston Garden for boxing.
It just makes me embarrassed for my entire gender. Hockey is not boxing. And it's not really funny, especially when the checks are as hard and crushing as a recent hit by the Bruins' Zdeno Chara on Max Pacioretty of the Montreal Canadiens.
Campbell wins it clear to the far side of the zone. Oh, Pacioretty is down face first as Chara angled him, and Pacioretty was lined up against the center glass between the two benches.
Well, Pacioretty was taken off the ice with a neck brace and on a stretcher. He ended up with a severe concussion and a cracked vertebra. And today, NHL general managers are meeting in Florida for their annual conference, and Commissioner Gary Bettman has promised to discuss hard hits and violence on the ice.
And it got us wondering, you don't see bone-breaking checks in youth or college hockey. Concussions aren't that common on Olympic ice, so what's going on with the NHL?
A check on hockey violence, that is today's talker on Radio Boston. And listeners, if you play hockey, or if you have kids who play hockey, or if you love college and professional hockey, what's your take on this? How do you discourage a young player from pounding his or her opponents when that's exactly what they see the pros do? And if the NHL did change the rules and curbed hard checks, would that make players safer or just make the game way duller? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also comment online at our website, radioboston.org. Well, joining me now in the studio is Fluto Shinzawa. He is the Bruins beat writer for the Boston Globe. Fluto, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me, Meghna.
Also with us from New York is Mike Pesca. You know him as NPR's sports correspondent. He's with us from NPR's New York Bureau. Mike, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Fluto, let's start with you. So that hit that Zdeno Chara wailed on Max Pacioretty last week ended up with Pacioretty in the hospital, as we found out. The NHL took a look at it. What did they conclude? Was it an intentional hit? Did anything happen to Chara?
Yeah, Chara had to take part in a disciplinary hearing the day after the hit. Part of the reason for that call was to determine whether there was intent to injure. Now, if there was any way to determine that Chara is trying to hurt Pacioretty on that play, then he would have been suspended.
And so they determined that there was no intent.
No intent. They also looked at the original penalty, which was interference. Now, there are different permutations to the actual penalty, but the bottom line is this. For an interference penalty, a player cannot be fined or suspended. So
okay.
That's the bottom line.
So Mike and Fluto jump in here, too. For those of us who don't know, what are the rules in hockey about checks like this?
Well, there are those who say that the Chara hit, the reason that it was so awful and brutal, was really just an accident of geography and even rink design, because you heard them talking about the turnbuckle. The phrase turnbuckle and stanchion has been used a lot. There are portions of every NHL arena which aren't either padded optimally. Sometimes there are holes cut out where photographers could take pictures and someone could get cut in those holes. So it's not a perfectly safe work environment. And so Chara's defenders and Chara himself has said that, well, Chara hasn't said it, but others have made the point for him that if the same check, a check of that magnitude, a check of that intensity happened a few feet away from where it did, there'd be no injury and no one would even be talking about it. In fact, if you listen to the original Nesson broadcast of the game announcers, admittedly, you know, Bruin homers, were saying, why is this even a major penalty, let alone the discussion that's happening now, which is in Canada, they're talking about, overheatedly, I should say, but they're talking about charging Chara criminally, and the 911 system in Montreal was inundated with all these people who were calling up saying you should charge Chara with a crime, you know, and the authorities had to say there are real emergencies out there. But hockey does have a real situation on its hand, and no matter why it happened and how much you should punish Chara, down there at the league meetings, a lot of people are saying they need to do something about this sport, because hard hits and players being put out of the game and our best players sitting on the bench and sitting on injured reserve for extended periods of time is really hurting the sport.
Fluto, I mean, is that what you're hearing from, let's say, when you talk to Bruins management, or is the feeling when it comes to talking to actual players and the back office down for the Bruins that they're just like, this is a bit of an overreaction?
Well, there's a fine line to be struck here. I think the bottom line of this sport is that at its nature, this is a confrontational sport. It's about competition. It's about one guy, player X, competing for the puck against player Y, the biggest, strongest, fastest, and some of the meanest and most competitive athletes in the world. Naturally, you're going to have some kind of conflict, some kind of injuries, these kinds of situations.
Well, let's not forget that Chara, I mean, I was looking up his stats, he is the biggest and the baddest. He's 6'9", 255 pounds. And it seems like, as you were saying earlier, that part of the issue is trying to gauge intent. I mean, how are you supposed to gauge intent when a human who's that large is racing down on the ice and there's nothing to stop him? I mean, can you tell what he's really trying to do?
Absolutely impossible. I think what Montreal fans are a little bit upset about is that there is some history between these two players. Pacioretty had a shove for Chara two games earlier. Chara didn't like that. The next game after that, Chara and Pacioretty got into a little bit of a scrum. So I think that's where the Montreal fans are coming down. Yes, there was intent, but unless you can get inside the guy's head, very, very hard to tell.
Well, you know,
I should add.
Oh, go ahead,
Mike. I was just going to add, as a theory of law, this idea that intent is the only thing that matters, that doesn't necessarily hold up in the courts. I mean, if I walk down the street and knock a lady over, what happens to the person? I mean, she could just get a bruise and I would be charged with her own crime. But if she hit her head and died, I might be charged with murder. So I'm not saying that because the law does one thing, the NHL has to do something else. But leagues have rules in order to, you know, best express the principles of the game. And I don't know if taking intent as the only thing, the only input as to how much of a penalty you give is necessarily the best thing for the NHL right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we actually put a call into the Bruins and didn't hear back from them, but on Boston 10.0, the Globe's website on sports and that is done with videos with Bob Ryan, your counterpart there, Fluto, we actually pulled a little bit of sound from that because Bob Ryan recently spoke with Cam Neely, Boston Bruins legend and now also in Bruins management, and here's what Cam Neely had to say. He basically said he thinks when hockey players join the NHL, they know what they're getting themselves into.
I think, you know, with a sport that has the size of the rink that we have, there is no out of bounds. Contact's a big part of it. I mean, you know, like somebody, I read a quote from somebody saying that, you know, everybody signs up for this. They know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
But having said that, you know, you certainly want to make sure that the guys do have an understanding of, you know, watching the head hits.
We got a lot of hockey fans on the line wanting to jump in on this conversation. Let's go to Newburyport. Joe's on the line. Joe, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah, thanks for taking my call. I used to play hockey, still occasionally do. I used to play competitively. And one thing I've noticed about watching the NHL these days is there's hardly any hits at all. There's hardly any clean hockey hits. When there are hits, good clean hits, it seems like for some reason the player needs to retaliate and do a dirty play or get into a fight. When I used to play, when I used to watch it back in the Big Brad Bruins era, there was plenty of checks. But now it's any good clean check, they have to retaliate. Now, one thing that happens, the players are bigger, stronger, faster. 6'9", 255. Dino Jadar is big and bad, but he does not have a history of being dirty. He plays strong, he plays clean, but just because of his size and his speed, he is going to hurt someone. I no longer watch the Bruins because of the fights. I love hockey, but there's no place for fighting in hockey at all. I'd love to see clean, solid hits, but because they're so big and strong nowadays, people are going to get hurt on that as well.
Joe, thank you so much for your call. Mike Pesca, I mean, what about this fundamental question that we sort of opened the segment with, that, you know, can the NHL just make a couple quick rule changes and get rid of this problem altogether?
Well, it wouldn't be quick because it would definitely go to the core of the game, but they have changed. And I'd love to hear Fluto talk about this because I know the Bruins are defending their player as well they should because, you know, how far some of the Montreal fans have taken it. And also we should add that the Air Canada, a big sponsor of the NHL, has said maybe we're not even going to be a sponsor. And they sort of threatened to disassociate themselves with the product. And NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman says, don't worry, we'll get another sponsor. So major forces to bear about this one hit. So, I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. But I just think that there were rule changes about 10, 12 years ago when hockey became clutch and grab and it wasn't open and there wasn't speed that the caller just said he loved about the game. And so that was remedied. And what used to be a very grappling style wrestling on ice became a more open style. Well, with this more open style, with players flying around at high speed, that's when the rise in really brutal hits started to happen. So there have been a couple of ways to perhaps remedy this. Some people advocate you allow the defensive players to interfere more or to, you know, allow some of that clutching and grabbing. Or you could just make the rink bigger. I say just, it's a big undertaking. But, you know, in Olympic-style hockey, there's more room to operate, and so maybe there'd be fewer injuries, and it would emphasize fluidity and passing and those sort of skills.
Fluto?
Yeah, we saw, Mike, the Bruins directly affected by this headshot rule actually about a year ago. Bruins fans will remember that Matt Cook hit Mark Savard with what is now determined as a blindside shot to the head. Savard's career is very much in jeopardy, and since then it's been a new rule called Rule 48. That kind of hit, no longer allowed. Blindside shot to the head, no longer allowed. The Bruins actually felt it this year. One of their players delivered one of those hits, Daniel Paille, suspended for 4 games. So we see some results and products of these hits. It's time that the league is obviously taking a look at these kinds of hits again. But we've seen in the past, and Bruins fans know, that their players have been at the core of change. And I think that's is needed again.
We are talking about hockey violence, hard checks, and big brawls in the NHL. Should the NHL change its rules for the safety of the players, or would doing that rob the game of its spirit and soul? And parents with young players out there, I know there are a lot of you in the greater Boston area. I'm really interested in hearing from you. How do you talk to your kids about those checks when that's what they're seeing happening with the Bruins and all their favorite teams in places like the Garden and the NHL? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I want to throw another voice into this conversation. He is Matt Kalman. He is the founder of thebruinsblog.net and author of 100 Things Bruins Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Matt, welcome to Radio Boston.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So you've been hearing this conversation about rules changes in the NHL and how that, you know, maybe would or wouldn't be so easy. But you say we actually do need to bring some of the old rules, the pre-2004 rules back. Now, tell us about what you mean by that.
Yeah, I mean, definitely you need to bring some of these rules back. Coming out of the lockout, the NHL needed to make a big splash. They wanted to open up the game more, bring more offense, bring more speed and excitement. And a couple of those rules have kind of made the rink into a more dangerous area, made it into a kind of a speedway with guys just flying at full speed at each other. Something as simple as putting the red line back in and preventing two-line passes where guys won't be chasing the puck the length of the ice at full speed anymore could definitely reduce a lot of these harder hits. And also the interference rule, as you guys brought up a little bit earlier, as far as just letting guys hold up the forecheckers and let the defenseman go back for the puck without having to worry about getting crushed at full speed. Letting the goaltenders handle the puck was another thing they took out of the game. The goaltenders can't journey out of the trapezoid behind the net, and so the defensemen have to go all the way back to get the puck, and a lot of them are getting creamed on those plays.
So you don't seem to think that these rules changes are rolling back the clock on some of them would actually take away the sort of the excitement, the speed, and the spirit of the game that people really like viscerally respond to?
Yeah, you know, I think that when the league came out of the lockout, they kind of overdid it. They threw so many rules changes in there to make sure that they had every base touched as far as opening the game up and making it more exciting. And you could still do away with the clutching and the grabbing that happened in the offensive zone to the puck carriers and put these other rules back in. They're not going to necessarily hurt the game.
Well, we got a lot of callers who want to join us. I want to bring them back into the conversation. Let's go to Karen, who's calling from Sherbourne. Welcome to Radio Boston, Karen.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Well, I'm going to go way back. I'm actually lived in Canada and was born there, and my dad played in the farm teams in the U.S. He played for the Los Angeles Monarchs, among others, and was called the Flying Hairpin. He was one of their top scorers. His contention, as he watched the game change over decades, was that as padding and as protection increased, so did the type of hits and the kind of hits and sort of the violence on the ice. So it's not likely that we're going to go back, but I just question if there's any way to track, as players became more protected, almost more like football players, what was the correlation? As they felt more secure in nailing each other on the boards, that it wouldn't quote-unquote hurt, but did the level of, play change and we went from a finesse game to more of a physical game?
Great question, Karen. Mike Pesca, NPR sports correspondent. Self-fulfilling prophecy with better padding?
Well, and then, of course, you know, the plastic helmets and pads also could be a weapon. I know that Rod Langley and Craig McTavish, guys, some of the last guys who played without helmets, always said that, you know, people were just respectful of the head. Once you have a guy's face who you could see, A, it was good for PR, and this was the time, as Bruins fans remember, when these players were, you know, the big sex symbols of their cities. But B, it helped with protection. I don't think in this world where everyone's so cognizant of concussions you could ever go to that. But I also think that I don't really see this as having to be a pendulum swing or a seesaw between clutch and grab hockey and, let's call it, you know, speed and bleed hockey. I think that there are some a raft of rule changes and just almost the messaging from the league by taking it more seriously. I don't know if it means necessarily suspending a specific guy for a specific hit, but by taking it more seriously and not being maybe dismissive of Air Canada saying, hey, we'll get another sponsor, that would make maybe go a long way as to making the game a lot safer. Because people want a safe game, and they want to see Sid Crosby, and they want to see their stars, not be victims.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we reached out to a lot of former players to see if they wanted to speak with us. I didn't get any luck there. But the CBC recently, actually just, I believe, yesterday, interviewed Matthew Schneider. He's with the Phoenix Coyotes now. He's also with the NHL's Players Association. You know, about what he's found from players that he's spoken to, and he said in the aftermath of the Chara hit, he talked to about 40 players, and he said that they want consistency with how current rules are applied, maybe some tweaks to other rules that the NHL has, but he had one big qualification to that. Let's hear what he had to say.
Well, the one question we've asked players is, do you think the game is more dangerous today than it was, say, 5 years ago or 7 years ago? And the answer we got, surprisingly, is no. Is there a lack of respect among players? The answer, again, no. The biggest difference, and again, this is what we're hearing back from the guys are bigger, stronger, faster. Maybe it's just calling the rules that are in place now differently.
Pluto Shinzawa, when you talk to Bruins players, do any of them feel, I mean, we've been hearing about concussions and at the rate, I don't know if they're comparable to the NFL in football, but lots of people worried about the health of players. Are they worried about their health?
Absolutely. I think when you look at it, these are players who have dominated at every level, high school, junior, university, before they've gotten to the NHL. They think they're invincible, but even when they do get here, they realize how dangerous these concussions are from teammates, from other players. They know the long-term consequences of what these headshots can do. So it comes down to respect. It comes down to the culture. It comes down to the equipment. There's all these little tweaks that can be done, but you can't really change the culture of the game. It's a dangerous, dangerous game.
You know, Marty McSorley, who former Bruins player in 2000, actually whacked Donald Brashears in the head with his stick. I recently read a quote from him saying he admits that he himself can't see out of his right eye. Sometimes he forgets what's happening when he walks into a room and he thinks that, yeah, it might have to do something with concussions. But he still says, like you said, you can't change the culture, because he says fighting is not the problem in the NHL. Let's get another call from Cambridge. Charlie's on the line. Welcome to Radio Boston, Charlie.
Thanks a lot for taking my call. I agree with those who say you cannot change the culture, nor should you change the culture, because the culture is what makes the game so interesting and fun for us to watch. But I think you could make one change that, with some other tweaks, would have an enormous impact on safety. And the change would be to widen the rink by 10 feet. Why would that make a huge difference? If you think about players, as Matthew Schneider just said, 20, 30, 40 years ago, they were not nearly as big, as fast, and as strong as players today. The laws of physics tell you, when you take a space the same size, 200 by 80, and you put much faster, much bigger, much more fit and stronger players in it, there are going to be more collisions. If you give these skilled players a little more space, it's harder to hit them, and I think you have fewer concussions.
Mm. Charlie, thank you so much for your call. Matt Kalman, founder of BruinsBlog.net. Do you think that, you know, something, I mean, I know you've talked about changing the dimensions of a rink, but that's not the easiest thing in the world to do. I mean, are there quicker fixes that we could have?
Yeah, you know, I mean, changing the dimensions of the rink is practically impossible because it costs money, and we know the owners aren't going to part with that type of money as far as spending the money to expand the rink and taking out some of the most expensive seats in the house. There are obviously something like the Chara hit with the stanchions. There's been a lot of talk of modifying those stanchions, rounding them off, tilting them at an angle instead of at an angle. There are definitely things in different types of glass as far as getting all the seamless glass out of these buildings. There are definitely modifications you can make to the existing rinks to make them safer, if not bigger.
Mm-hmm. Let's get one more call in here before we run out of time. Joey is calling from Roslindale. You're on the air, Joey.
Hi, how are you? I actually don't think the game's physical enough. I watch hockey because it's not soccer. I don't want to see European soccer. That's what basically the Olympic style of hockey is. Hockey needs to be more physical. And now after this Chara hit, I thought Chara wasn't physical enough this year.
Really?
Now you're going to have a guy like him backing off, you know?
So you think that you want him to go harder and faster at each other?
I want Chara to be more physical. And after this hit, now he's like, oh, I don't want to hurt, you know? I don't want him thinking that. I want him going out there and being an animal.
So a vote for the soul of the game there. Joey, thank you so much for your call. Mike Pesca, NPR sports correspondent. Let me ask you, I mean, we've heard a lot of, focus on the NFL and all these head injuries, and now everyone's talking about the NHL. Is hockey facing a similar crisis that football's undergoing right now? Mike Pesca, are you there? Looks like we lost Mike for the moment. Fluta Shinzawa, let me turn that question to you. I mean, does this feel like hockey is in crisis, or have we seen this all before in the game?
I think it's just a matter of, yes, concussions are on the rise, yeah. But in the past, I think players just didn't acknowledge having them. It was part of the culture. Oh, I have a headache. Oh, I got the wind knocked out of me. I'm going to go right back out there for my next shift. That's been the culture, the persona of hockey players throughout history. So if you look at the way the game is evolving, it's, yes, bigger, stronger, faster players. Let's take a look at the equipment. Let's take a look at the rinks. Let's look at those areas to change.
Something can be done. Fluta Shinzawa, Bruins beat writer for the Boston Globe, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Matt Kalman, founder of thebruinsblog.net and author of 100 Things Bruins Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And Mike Pesca, NPR sports correspondent, was great to have you as well.
You can hear me, you're welcome.
Oh, sure, we can hear you now. Thanks so much, Mike. Come back with us on Radio Boston sometime. It's great to have you.
Absolutely.
Well, we got to take one more quick break, and when we come back, we meet an entrepreneur who's looking to monetize his father's retirement hobby. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Adam Ragusea today. This is Radio Boston.